WOMC
HD3 Detroit
KJAQ
HD3 Seattle
WBMX
HD3 Boston
and on AOL Radio
and Yahoo Launchcast.
Hey, good afternoon. This is Intuitive Soul with Lori Houston and Nancy Aruda from Universal Sky. And today we are going to talk about the forecast, the astrology forecast for 2012. So, hey, Nance.
Hey, how are you?
Good. Well, we're both sort of...
Yeah, battling a cold.
Or whatever this is.
It's New Year's clearing.
The New Year's clearing, yes. That's it. Which we will be doing a lot of this year, I hear.
Yes, we will be. Okay. So what I always start with is the numerology for the year. And 2012 equals a 5. So we're entering into a 5-year. With typical numerology, when we look at the vibration of 5, it's all about change and challenges and conflict, activations, and alchemy, which is a creation energy. And the way I like to look at that positively, because, you know, a lot of people say, oh, no, challenge, a year full of challenges.
Yes.
Is it any different from last year?
Yeah.
Well, you really need to look at change in a different challenge in a different light, because every challenge brings you the opportunity for growth.
Right.
Right.
I mean, I think that's the key point to remember, is that we get caught up in the challenge.
Yes.
And we sort of forget to look at the fact that it's actually giving us a gift. It's helping us grow. It's working with us. And we sort of get too caught up in the problems versus...
Right.
Yeah, I know.
And also when I do the numerology, I compare it to the major arcana and the tarot. And the 5 in the major arcana, there's always more than one major arcana that's associated to the number. Because when we look at the higher numbers, they add down to the single digit numbers as well. So we're dealing with the number 5 is the Hierophant, okay, which is ruled by the astrological vibration of Taurus. And the unconscious aspect is the number 14, because 1 + 4 = 5. And that is Temperance, and which is ruled by the astrological vibration of Sagittarius.
Mm.
And with this particular vibration, we're dealing with the principle of teaching and learning.
Now, this is you made me think of something. There are some decks that don't they switch the Temperance and the
Justice? Yes.
Yes. Okay. Yes. So does that have any?
If you're working with Justice as the number 14, then you're going to be pulling in the Libra.
Mm-hmm.
Energy associated to it. It's basically whatever deck you work with, whatever you feel that number should be is the number that you work with. I use the Rider deck.
Which most people do, but there are...
I use the Radiant Rider, which is just more vibrancy in the color, and
it's
multidimensional versus the Rider weight is like very flat and two-dimensional looking.
Mm-hmm.
That
came up because I remember those two being switched sometimes in different decks.
Yeah, it's more the European decks that switch them.
Okay.
So a lot of the decks that originated in Europe, not to say that the Rider didn't. When I say European, it's more like Italian or the more older cultures worked with that vibration. There's all these rules around it. Into why they make that switch, I didn't really get caught up in it because for me, vibrationally, I like the Temperance at 14.
Yeah.
So, and, you know, with anything spiritual, it's go with what makes sense with you. So if you feel it should be Justice, then you're going to be looking at the Libra energy of it. And there's still an astrological tie to that anyways. So.
Well, there you go.
Either way, it works. So we're working with the principle of teaching and learning.
Okay.
With this vibration. So it's really about like learning from authority, but also learning by experience. The conscious part of it is learning by authority, which means follow the rules. Okay. Where we're dealing with Taurus energy, it's really about the mundane, following the rules of like the practical society or, you know, what, you know, financial rules when it comes to borrowing or lending money, those kinds of things are what we're looking at. This year, the unconscious vibration is Sagittarius, which pulls in more knowledge and understanding but also looking at the spiritual component. So, you know, a lot of people are going to be stuck in more the mundane reality versus the spiritual reality.
It's interesting when you first started talking about that, which was a little bit earlier today. The first thing that came to me when you said that was that we're going to have some breakdowns in the economic structure that we've had, that we've been,
yes,
that we've sort of been accustomed to, that there are things that are going to change in the banking industry, and that we're going to get we're going to be so caught up in, I guess, the changes of it, or the, yes, challenges of it, that we're not going to be seeing the spiritual element of it.
Right. And if you're caught up in the change and the challenge, the way that you can come to resolution quicker or gain that understanding is to look at the spiritual component. What's the lesson for you individually on a spiritual level? That's what will allow you to move through it easier. Okay. Not to say that the dynamic around you is going to change. It's the dynamic within you that will change, which just makes it easier to deal with in the moment. Mm. Right. So, like, we really have to remember as a society and as an individual to remain grounded. The moment we're faced with a challenge, it's like we have this instant button that says, jump out of your body. Go higher. Let's avoid, right? Which is that not remaining grounded energy, okay? Right. But the best way to deal with it is stay in your body, stay grounded, and, you know, be proactive versus reactive.
Right?
And be aware. Right, which is use that conscious effort of understanding the lessons connected to it. Okay. So awareness is key. You know, we're working with two components of freedom. One is for freedom of choice, and that's the Hierophant component of it. And the other one is freedom of action, which means a lot of people quite often feel that they're not in a power of choice, or that they can't choose their specific action. And this is just a reminder that you're always in a point of choice, and you can always choose how to act. You may not like the course of action that's necessary, but you're in that place to choose it. So keywords for the vibration are testing, counseling, training, assimilating and integrating, healing, guidance, bridging, translating, interpreting, channeling, and arbitrating. Those are really the key vibrations that
we're
working
with.
Okay,
you got to say those again.
Okay. Testing, counseling.
Testing. Nice.
Yeah.
Okay, counseling I'm good with. Counseling
I'm good
with.
I'm good with counseling too. Training. Okay.
Training.
Expand your skill set,
okay,
in any way possible, like whether it's for job, career, just even your soft skills.
Okay.
Enhance those soft skills within yourself. It'll help you attract more money, which is a Taurus vibration. Assimilating and integrating. So really, you know, look at the situation, assimilate your situations, and then integrate how to respond and how to act upon those situations. Healing, which is a beneficial vibration.
Yeah.
But of course, most people get caught up in, you know,
the problem that's shown
that needs to be healed. Guidance. Seek guidance wherever you can or wherever you can.
That's kind of the temperance energy.
That's the
right?
temperance vibration.
Oh, and the Hierophant.
And the Hierophant. Yeah, yeah, it works both ways.
Yeah.
Because, like, you can seek financial guidance.
Right.
Okay. Talk to a financial investor. Find out what your options are.
You know, that's one card that I always get confused about is the Hierophant.
Excuse me. Yeah. Yeah. Well, He's the teacher.
Yeah. The guider, like somebody who's guiding people.
Yeah. Bridging. So bridging any gaps. Okay. So if there's a gap from where you want to be to where you want to go, okay, you clearly need to bridge that gap in order to make the transition. Translating. Try not to get lost in communications, like what's
being
said.
Keep it open. Yeah.
Yeah. Excuse me. I was doing so well.
I know
coughing.
You were doing so well. Do we need to go to break and we could, when we come back, when we can,
no,
you okay?
Be okay.
Okay.
Now. Interpreting.
Interpreting.
How we interpret information.
Yeah. Communication is going to be.
Yeah. Channeling.
Oh, cool.
How we receive information.
Yeah.
And arbitrating. So managing how others are receiving information.
Can we really do that?
So again, arbitrating kind of goes with bridging.
Yeah.
So it's really about bridging the gap, yeah. Right?
Finding that way to sort of bring it in.
Benefits of a five energy? It's a visionary energy.
Okay.
So if we look at the alchemy component of the number five, okay, we're blending all four elements. So all the numbers from one to four all have an elemental expression, fire, air, earth, and water.
Okay, right.
Okay, five is what's created when you blend those four elements together. So it's alchemy.
Interesting.
Yes.
You know, somebody was talking, and I believe it was the Mayans, where they're saying that we're actually going to get a fifth element with 2012, or as we're moving into that, that's what we're doing, is we're moving into the fifth sun.
Yes.
And that it's something to do more with, black energy, like the understanding the space between the space, like beginning mm-hmm. to understand. Anyway, yes.
Well, it's interesting because the fifth element is also known as spirit.
Well, yeah. Right. So that's what they're saying is yes. that's what's going to be coming in. And that, you know, we've only been looking at the four elements, and that this is to bring in when we move into the fifth sun, the fifth element.
Yes.
Interesting.
Another way to look at the fifth element is light.
Mm-hmm.
2012 mm-hmm. is the age of light. Then,
Age of Aquarius.
Yeah, mm-hmm. we're pulling in that light vibration.
Do you believe that this is finally us moving into the Age of Aquarius as well?
To some degree, yeah, but like the Age of Aquarius, to me, it's not like a finite doorway of just mm-hmm. 2012.
Right, okay? So we've been moving. We've been moving into it, yes?
Yeah, and it's kind of like 2012 is a standing in the doorway.
Okay.
Okay, so we're no longer in the dark ages, but we're not in the light age yet either.
Well, no.
So we're in the doorway.
We got some way to go, yeah.
And it's a very big doorway, apparently.
Yes.
So we're on the threshold. So like I'm looking forward to this year because, you know, at the end of every year, I do my reevaluation, and there's always benefits to the new year, right? To approaching a new energy, a new vibration. We get excited about it. So it's just about riding that wave of excitement.
Well, to me, the Hierophant and Temperance sound better than the Emperor energy. Like it was a very strong energy last year. Like the yes. Emperor energy was a very... Yeah. Strong energy. I don't know. I mean, I know that they're actually calling this year the year of power, but a different power than that power.
Yeah. Well, the Emperor's a little more raw than the Hierophant.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So it's more mm-hmm. of a raw power. It was Aries. Emperor's connected to Aries. Right. Now we're in the second sign of Taurus.
Right.
So it's the definition of the laws that the Emperor had, sort of said, this is the new law. Or the new law's been created, and now the Hierophant is defining that law and implementing it and holding people accountable for it.
Hmm. Cool.
So a little more accountability this year.
Yeah. Okay.
Right? The whole connection on a astrological level, so I don't know if we need to go for break, if you're ready.
We can go for okay. break now.
So we'll do the connection when we get back.
All right. Awesome. So we're going to go to break. We're not actually going to be taking callers today, but when we come back, Nancy and I, back on the 25th of January, we actually will be doing New Year's readings. So,
yes.
But today we're going to really focus on all the astrology because there's a lot of it. So when we come back, we'll be talking about
the connection.
The connection. You're listening to Intuitive Soul on Sky Radio with Lori Houston and Nancy Arruda, powered by CBS.
Enlighten, empower, enrich. This is CBS Radio's The New Sky. New horizons, no boundaries.
Children drunk lemonade, and the morning lasted all day, all day. And through an open window came, like Sinatra in a younger day, pushing the town away, all
The life you've imagined.
Look up to the sky.
This is Intuitive Soul with Lori Houston.
248-545-SOUL.
Myself, a threadbare gypsy soul.
CBS Radio's The New Sky.
NewSkyRadio.com.
Welcome back. This is Lori Houston from Intuitive Soul and Nancy Arruda from Universal Sky. And today, Nancy, we're leaving this with Nancy because this is her thing and I am so not an astrologer. But yes, Nancy, we're talking about the forecast for 2012. And right before the break, we decided we would come back with the bridge.
The connection.
The connection. Bridge connection.
I called it the connection. Yeah. So it's the connection between the numerology
and the astrology.
And this is the planetary connection. So as we were talking before the break, we were speaking of the signs Taurus and Sagittarius being connected to the five vibration of 2012.
Right.
Sagittarius's planetary ruler is Jupiter. And this year, Jupiter is in the sign of Taurus. So that's where we have that Sagittarius-Taurus connection this year. Through its planetary ruler. So it's been in Taurus since June 4th, 2011.
Okay.
But with its retrograde,
Then
it went direct on December 25th, 2011. We started the new year with Jupiter back at 0 degrees of Taurus.
Right.
It will not be going retrograde again while in the sign of Taurus, so it's just about moving forward with the energy and completing the energy.
But Jupiter goes retrograde every year, does it?
Yeah.
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 Okay. So when it does, it goes into Gemini. Does it go back into...
It goes into Gemini June 11th, 2012.
Does it go back into Taurus at any point? Okay.
No.
So it stays
in Gemini.
Okay.
Stays in Gemini. It will retrograde again this year, but not until October 4th, 2012. It doesn't go direct until 2013.
Oh, no.
Yeah, so we go through the new year.
We go through a new year.
Through the next New Year's. But you know what?
Jupiter's.
That's a year away. We'll work about that later.
But still, Jupiter, you don't want to start a new year with Jupiter in retrograde.
No. But like Jupiter is the benefic planet, right?
Yeah.
So it's the planet that everybody really, really likes.
Is that the one that's in the night? Is that the evening star or is that Venus? No, that's Venus.
I believe that's Venus when she's in a specific phase.
Yeah, which is now, apparently. Yeah. Okay.
So, because sometimes you can see Venus in the morning.
Yes, right? The morning star.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In the summer, I believe she's the morning star.
Yeah, I think so. Sorry.
And that may be subject to change. I'm not an astronomer, so I'm not 100% sure about the whole star thing around it.
What? They're not the same?
No, they're not. Although some astrologers are astronomers and vice versa,
okay.
But I'm not. You gave me a telescope and asked me to look into the sky, I wouldn't have a clue what I'm looking at. I can just feel the sky when I look into it.
Well, that's better, isn't it?
I guess.
No, it is. Because the joke is that we're looking at billions of stars and we always try to find and recognize the things that are the same to us, right? Like we're
With
always trying to pull out the things that are that we recognize as that we know, instead of just being with the stars and allowing them to, you know.
Yeah, it's kind of a vibration. Ever since I was a kid, if I looked up at the stars at night, it literally feels like I'm being pulled out into the universe.
Cool.
That there's no space between me and the stars itself. So I've had that feeling all my life.
Yeah. You don't live in Toronto, that's why.
No, so I can see the stars where I am. Anyways, moving back to Jupiter. It is the planet of expansion and growth. Okay. But it's also like, you know, sometimes too much of a good thing isn't necessarily a good thing.
Yeah, we know that from eating. Yes.
Yes. So like if Jupiter's transiting through your first house in your natal chart, then there may be that tendency to gain weight if you're not careful. Or eating unconsciously is really what we're doing, like, or always feeling that hunger pit in your stomach even after you've eaten. So that's where too much of a good thing isn't a good thing.
Right.
But it's, you know, it's also the planet of luck, if you believe in luck.
Right.
As a vibration. So as it's interacting with other planets this year in February, on February 14th, for example, it's sextile Chiron, which is really good time to lay to rest painful memories of the past. So it's like the ability to clear from a lot of things that no longer serve your ability to move forward. And it's those areas that are linked with the heart.
Right. Because Chiron's the wounded healer.
Yeah.
In Pisces, which is also.
Yeah. Yeah. It's in the sign of Pisces. So it's a spiritual vibration. It's time to let go of what does no longer serves. There's opportunities for learning, and these are good opportunities, not challenges.
Oh, I see. There is a difference.
Well, quite often, if it's a challenge, I'll use the word opportunity.
Yes.
But when I say opportunities for learning, so expanding your skill set, going back to school, or potentially even doing some traveling, and the type of traveling that will free a bit of your soul. So, you know, traveling to places where you've always felt that pull or that draw to. It will be trine Pluto in Capricorn on March 13th. And this is a recognition energy. So if people are working towards getting recognized in their career or their field, you know, they can really step into their power. So this is a powerful vibration.
Well, trends are always positive.
Yeah.
Right?
So, but yeah, and be conscious of how you're using your power, because that's when it'll turn into one of those opportunities that you don't necessarily like, right? Yeah, avoid the power struggles. But like, this is a harmonious vibration. So it's more about being in your power, as opposed to power struggles. Like, power struggle is not the first word.
Pluto is usually death and rebirth, though, right?
Yes.
And it's in Capricorn.
In the sign of Capricorn. Yeah.
That.
Which is
in the grounded earth. Yeah.
That recognition. So we're dealing with two earth signs, Jupiter and Taurus, Pluto and Capricorn, right?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So there's that. It's
earthy,
a really grounded energy. Being in your power. Not abusing power, but being in it, right? So using it for your benefit. The one time it gets a little iffy is, and it doesn't have to be iffy, is when it's square Neptune in June. And that's really a fantasy and daydreaming energy.
Oh, yeah.
So do not move forward with opportunities at that point in time. Focus on the fantasy itself. Like, that's the best way to use the vibration. Be in that really good, happy feeling place.
Okay.
With this energy. If you don't know what to be doing, then, you know, like for me, I pick up romance novels. Other people, you know, may choose to watch a romantic movie or, you know, anything that makes them feel good.
Right.
So be in that feel good energy, because that's really the opportunity with this vibration, is to be in that space. Okay. It's really about moving into acceptance and exploring spiritual realities, focusing on meditation. Yoga, if you want to do it on a practical level. So go more to yoga during that time period, right? Okay. Or any type of physical exercise that allows with that
grounded
for that spiritual connection. Yeah. And then summertime, so towards the end of June, it's opposite the North Node. There may be some difficult relating to other people. You're going to be reassessing connections to groups or individuals. And it's saying make room for abundance. So let go of any relationships that don't necessarily serve the path that you're moving forward in.
Right.
make room to attract people that are in alignment with your goals and your desires and your ambitions.
Right.
And that's the vibration there. It's sextile Uranus, July 22nd. Be open to new opportunities that are exciting and new.
Mm-hmm.
It's a go with the flow vibration then. And then it stations retrograde on October 4th. So, and I did mention it goes into Gemini June 11th.
Yes.
Okay. The other connection with the numerology.
Saturn.
Is how Saturn. Did that happen? Yeah, ouch.
Yeah, I know. How'd that happen? And why?
Well,
where's Saturn?
It, not in the beginning of the year. It's more towards the end of the year. Okay. So we're continuing, Saturn's continuing its journey through the sign of Libra.
Oh, it's when it moves out into, in October. It's not until October, right?
Which is towards the end of the year. Not a lot of aspects to Saturn and the outer planets, which is a good thing. So there's no additional stresses. However, Saturn stations retrograde on February the 7th. So where we will be restructuring our relationships.
Oh, really?
Yes. Okay. At 29 degrees of Libra.
Oh, that's an ending, right?
Yeah, it's a completion energy. So it's kind of like karmically completing karmic relationships.
Okay.
Okay. Or relationships that activate karma within individuals.
Right.
It then stations direct on June 25th.
So February till June.
Degrees. Yeah. Where we then move forward with that restructuring.
Saturn does it every year too?
Yes.
Oh, okay. For that long, eh?
Yeah.
It's a long time.
Yeah. So it's not really like a retrograde that brings us those surprises like a Mercury retrograde does, right? It's an evolutionary period where we're restructuring something with Saturn when it goes retrograde. How it shifts into the connection energy of 2012 is when it moves into the sign of Scorpio on October the 5th. And you might think, Scorpio's not Taurus, right? But it's polar opposite. So Scorpio is the polar opposite to Taurus. So we're working with that Taurus vibration, just with its polar energy.
Right.
And this is where we're getting into how, you know, other people's monies, loans, how banks loan, how credit cards work, you know, rules and regulations around them might be shifting.
Right. Well, they did that big change. When was that? That wasn't too long
ago. I believe it was last year. Yeah. Here in Canada, they made changes into the rules and regulations around how
big
they can
change.
Loan the money.
Yeah.
Okay. Another way of looking at this Scorpio, because Scorpio is about letting go, is there may be changes in bankruptcy laws.
Oh, really?
Okay, so for people who are letting go of other people's money that they borrowed in a very fast, clear-cut kind of way, so there may be changes with bankruptcy laws as well. Now, I'm not a financial expert by no means.
Yeah, but there are going to be some changes probably in the next year, this year, that come around. Yeah, I feel that that's going to start happening for sure.
Yeah. And as we transition from Libra,
we're going to go to break.
Oh, okay.
And then when we come back, we'll continue talking about Saturn, one of my unfavorite planets. I guess least favorite planet should have been
like
what I said. We're going to go to break. You're listening to Intuitive Soul with Nancy Arruda today, talking about the astrological aspects of 2012. And Lori Houston, Nancy can be found at universalsky.com, and I'm on intuitivesoul.com. You're listening to Sky Radio, powered by CBS.
New Sky Radio, newskyradio.com, and Psychic Radio, psychiconair.com, powered by CBS Radio, AOL, and Yahoo, is unlike any talk radio station, with a mission to improve the world one listener at a time. This is where you can be the star of your own show. Our listeners are truly unique, truly interactive, and passionate about their world. The Sky and Psychic Radio listeners genuinely care about the environment, social justice, their personal health, and raising people up to live their best life every day. Our motto is New Horizons, No Boundaries. New Age views, life coaching, psychic analysis, alternative medicine, and cutting-edge mind, body, and spirit shows can all be found on The Sky and Psychic Radio. Perhaps you have what it takes to join our broadcast family, an open mind, a great idea, and a passion for enriching lives. Check out all the exciting details by clicking the microphone on our homepage at newskyradio.com or give Lisa Rodman a call at 248-546-9600 to learn just how affordable it can be to host a show.
Well, I was sitting, waiting, wishing you believed in superstitions. Then maybe you'd see the signs. But Lord knows that this world is cruel, and I ain't the Lord, no, I'm just a fool. And I'm loving somebody, don't make them love you. Must I always be waiting, waiting on you? Must I always be playing, playing the fool? I sing your songs, I dance your dance. I gave your friends all a chance. Putting up with them wasn't worth ever having you. Or maybe you've been through this before, but it's my first time, so please ignore the next few lines, cause they're directed at you. I can't always be waiting, waiting on you. I can't always be playing, playing your fool. I keep playing your part, but it's not my scene. Won't this plot to twist? I've had enough mystery. Building it up, but then you're shooting me down. But I'm already down. Just wait a minute. Just sit and wait it. Just wait a minute. Just sit and wait it. Well, if I was in your position, I'd put down all my ammunition. I'd wonder why it had taken me so long. But Lord knows that I'm not you. And if I was, I wouldn't be so cruel. Cause waiting on love ain't so easy to do. Must I always be waiting, waiting on you? Must I always be
the life you've imagined?
Look up to the sky.
This is Intuitive Soul with Lori Houston.
248-545-SOUL.
Myself, a threadbare gypsy soul.
CBS Radio's The New Sky.
NewSkyRadio.com.
Welcome back. This is Intuitive Soul with Lori Houston and Nancy Arruda. Nancy Arruda is at UniversalSky.com. Nancy does astrology readings. If you like some of the information she's giving you and want to know what your year is going to be like, I would recommend getting a hold of Nancy and having your actual charts done by Nancy, because she does some really interesting work, and I think you could all benefit from her. So you can reach her at UniversalSky.com.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
So just before the break, we were talking about Saturn shifting signs and going from Libra to Scorpio. And we were talking about how, like, some of the financials might change up the rules. So whether it's loaning money or going bankrupt, like there may be some changes in the bankruptcy laws. Another, it just jumped out of the page at me when I looked at the transition between Libra and Scorpio, was another thing that might be changing is some of the marriage or divorce laws, like somewhere around September, October.
And what made me, when you said that to me at break, was made me think of the fact that I'd heard that they're going to start looking at doing 2-year marriages, which means after the second year, if you chose the 2-year marriage, you either renew it.
Or you're automatically separated.
Yeah, and you don't have to go through the divorce laws and stuff. So that would be a very interesting thing to have happen.
But it is interesting, but like, I don't know a lot of information about that.
Me either.
Yeah.
Just heard about it and thought.
But if you think about that, like, if you're in a relationship with somebody, it's like, woohoo, let's get married, but let's only do the 2-year thing. Yeah. You're not really putting a lot of faith in your relationship.
Well, you're not committed at all. Hello. Nice commitment. I mean, it's just kind of the same as when they do the, you know, the form of that, you know, where they're already dividing up their assets, you know,
like, the prenuptial,
I mean, I think it's necessary for some people, but at the same time, how committed are you when you're doing a prenup? Like, I, you know, we're so not committed as a society in relationships in general. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we have these very silly laws. I mean, I don't know. I mean, it protects them, but. Yep. But how much is your commitment level if you're starting it like that?
You know, the same thing may be true for, you know, with this transitionary energy, like custody laws as well. If we're pulling in different types of relationships and how relationships will be changing during this time.
Well, you know, and I will always go back to, I think that's the only way we grow. So I think we are, I mean, this world is all about relationships. Mm-hmm. I mean, everything about us is relationship oriented.
Exactly. I agree with you 100%. Right. And even if it's not about another person, it's the relationship you have with yourself.
Yeah.
Right.
Oh, for sure.
So,
for sure.
And typically I follow the order of planets, but we're going to change it up a little bit today.
Yes.
Because, you know, the outer planets are doing what they always do.
Well, and there's not a lot going on.
Not a lot going on. A lot of changes. So Uranus continues in Aries. Neptune continues in Pisces.
Oh, yeah,
or actually, Neptune shifts into Pisces officially on February the 3rd.
Which I'm waiting for because it's been in Aquarius for a long time.
Yeah. And it went into Pisces last year, but it's going to be its official launch into the sign of Pisces on February the 3rd.
Which is a little bit gentler energy because Pisces is its home planet, right?
Yes. But there's also more potential for getting caught in illusions.
Oh, yeah. All right.
With that vibration. You know, Pluto continues its journey in Capricorn, and Chiron officially moves into the sign of Pisces as well on February the 8th.
Which I'm also happy about, yeah. Get all these planets out of my house.
Yeah, you want everything out of Aquarius.
Please, out. I've had it. Enough.
And even before we get to Mercury retrograde.
Yes.
Because... okay,
because we have one that's going to
Mars.
Yeah, which happens this month.
Yes.
Right before my birthday. Woohoo!
Mars goes retrograde this year, which it does approximately every 2 years.
And it's on a new moon.
Is it on a new moon?
Yeah, 23rd.
Okay, I haven't done my new moon dates.
That's okay. Yet. I only know it because I know that that's a good energy for me because I'm going to be in a new moon energy.
Right.
Yeah, which is
it
good.
Is.
Yeah, I know.
So with Mars is, you know, I kind of like Mars. Mars represents men.
It does. Passion.
I like men.
Sometimes the passion goes a little bit too much onto the anger side, but, you know, passion's good.
Passion is good. It is our driving force, our desire, our ambition. Yes, power is in there as well. But as Mars goes retrograde, a lot of that unconscious anger. Now, if you think about it, anger is an unconscious emotion to begin with.
Okay.
Okay. It's an unconscious. Anger is a secondary emotion, which means there's an emotion lying underneath it. Okay. That's triggering that we're not conscious about because there's a part of us that doesn't want to look at the situation as it is.
Right.
So we have a tendency to project it and then get angry.
Right.
With Mars retrograde, all that repressed anger over the last couple of years needs an outlet because we need to let the valve open every now and then or else we'll combust.
Right.
And when Mars goes retrograde, that's when we begin to see it in other people. So it's easier to see in somebody else than within the self.
Always.
Okay. But yes, it happens within the self as well.
Well, that's when we have to bring it back to us.
Yes.
Because usually we're just judging everybody else.
Right.
Making them wrong.
Back to that relationship thing again. Mm-hmm. Either, Laurie. it is in the sign of Virgo and it goes retrograde on January 23rd.
So it means we're going to be really thorough is what you're saying.
Yes. Well, you can probably already notice that people who are, like, whose temper fuses are like opening up quicker, right? Like there's less patience in the air. You had mentioned you noticed it on the road more.
Right. There's nothing like driving downtown and having, because I was getting really good by the end of this year, you know, last year. And then this year it started up again. I'm like, oh, I just have no patience.
So everybody has to consciously remember that they need that outlet. Okay. Physical exercise is a very good way to handle the Mars retrograde. Right. I'm not going to say start a new regime, a new physical regime during a Mars retrograde, because you will not move through to completion.
Right.
Okay. But like really focus actively on doing something active during this time period to release that in a healthy way versus an unhealthy way, which would be the anger and the...
Right.
Right.
And I always find that when I if it's like there on the unconscious, if I go for a real power walk, I find that some of that stuff starts to come up and I think about it and it's like, oh, okay. So let's,
for me, I'm noticing it's within my perfection energy, right? With that Virgo. Virgo is the, you know, the perfectionist, even though perfection doesn't really exist, but
right.
And I'm aware of that, but it's, you know, within my sense of order. So wherever I'm seeing disorder, I'm already starting to feel that Mars retrograde energy transpiring.
Funny. Well, someone decided to join us because we were laughing. Or maybe it's the anger. Who knows?
She's here to diffuse it.
That's it.
So yes, with Mars retrograde, things to avoid in a Mars retrograde is anything that Mars rules. So that being said, elective surgery.
Oh,
postpone any types of elective surgery. Mars rules surgery. When Mars is retrograde, it's in the sign of Virgo, which rules the physical body. Okay. It's an earth sign as well. So it's connected to our tangible assets and those things that we own or like to organize in my case. what happens, like, there's this energy of the blood thinner.
Oh, okay.
Okay. So the vibration's coming from the universe. So there may be a tendency to overbleed or not clot quickly.
Right.
So if you have to go for emergency surgery, obviously you got to do it.
Right.
Okay. Don't not do it because, you know, Mars is retrograde.
Right.
But if you have elective surgery, postpone it until after April the 13th.
Okay.
Okay. Or do it before January 23rd. And I wouldn't suggest like the day before, 2 days before, you know, give it a good week before to a week to two afterwards.
Right.
Because there's potentials for things that you may not expect.
Right.
To go wrong.
And we really only have 2 weeks to go. So a little less actually.
Yeah. For people who work in kitchens, for example, you know, be aware of knives. You may cut yourself more frequently without, so like be extra cautious around it, right? When you're chopping your vegetables or because it rules knives.
Right.
You know, accidents. Careful on the roads. Okay. Is there a Mercury? There is a Mercury retrograde during this time period as well. And that would be from March 12th to April the 4th. So that's when you really have to watch the road.
Okay, we need to take another break.
Okay.
All right. So you're listening to Intuitive Soul with Nancy Aruda from Universal Sky and myself, Lori Houston from Intuitive Soul on Sky Radio, powered by CBS.
Here comes the sun. I say it's all right.
Discover your spirit. Listen to Spirit Guide Radio, where leading spiritual experts serve as guides to nourish your soul every weeknight from 11 p.m. Eastern Time. Heidi Hollis, The Outlander, The Zodiac Girls with Solaris, Laura, and Kira. Ask Dr. Doug with Dr. Doug Lehrer. Life by Number with Celeste, Laura Lee's Spirit Salon, and Your Reiki Journey with Heidi Harrison. Spiritually speaking, radio for the soul. Spirit Guide Radio on New Sky Radio. New horizons, no boundaries.
How the hell do we wind up like this? Why weren't we able to see the signs that we missed? Try to turn the tables. I wish you'd unclench your fists and unpack your suitcase. Lately there's been too much of this, but don't think it's too late. Nothing's wrong, just as long as you know that someday I will.
behind the tables. Now the story's played out like this, just like a paperback novel. Let's rewrite an ending that fits instead of a Hollywood horror. Nothing's wrong, just as long as you know that someday I will. Someday, somehow, I'm gonna make it alright, but not right now. I know you wonder anyway.
The life you've imagined.
Look up to the sky.
This is Intuitive Soul with Lori Houston.
248-545-SOUL.
Myself, a threadbare gypsy soul.
CBS Radio's The New Sky.
NewSkyRadio.com.
Welcome back. You're listening to Intuitive Soul on Sky Radio. We have Nancy Arruda from Universal Sky. See how that fits in with Sky, and Lori Houston from intuitivesoul.com. And we're talking about the astrological aspects of 2012.
Yes. Yes. So before break, we were talking about Mars. So just to recap those dates quickly, Mars goes retrograde January 23rd, direct on April the 13th.
And during that time, we have a Mercury retrograde.
We have a Mercury retrograde March 12th to April the 4th.
Which I like this year's retrogrades for Mercury because they're actually less than a month. And yes. Last year, I think all of them were more than a month. Yeah.
Well, they were longer than their typical 21 days.
I think they were like a month, some of them. It's like crazy, but anyway.
So, and we have like our standard three Mercury retrogrades.
Sometimes we have four, so it's, we're good. Still good.
and just to cap those dates since we're talking about it, so the first one is March 12th to April the 4th. The second Mercury retrograde is July 14th to August the 8th in the sign of Leo. And the third one is November the 6th, and it goes retrograde in Sagittarius, and then direct November 26th in the sign of Scorpio. But the other thing that we did want to mention,
for sure,
was the Venus retrograde this year again.
So, is there a difference because Mars is male energy? So, would it affect men differently? I know that they had something. They did have something that even Mars affects men and women differently. So,
yes,
I guess Venus would also.
Venus affects men and women differently. So. If you want to follow typical standard rule, Mars being connected to men, Venus being connected to women, yes, the Mars retrograde is more intense for men than it is women.
Right.
Okay. The Venus retrograde is more intense for women than it is men. Now, it actually follows people's unique vibration. So, I am a female. I lean more towards the masculine side in terms of my energetic vibration.
Really?
Okay. Like, I'm very much a female. Okay. To the point where some people might think I'm a princess. I think I'm more of a tomboy. Okay.
Really? I would never think of you as a princess, but
when I was younger, I was like, I'd be the one climbing a tree in a dress.
Right.
Okay. So I love the dresses and I like dressing up and and doing the makeup thing. And so it's all part of who I am. But who can't put mascara on and climb a tree at the same time?
There you go.
Okay.
See, it's funny because I'm like totally, like the goddess energy, but I am so not a girly girl. Like I'm much more like, I dress more the sporty type, although I'm really not into sports. So don't ask me what that's all about, but I'm so not the girly girl, but yet I know I have that strong goddess.
I dress like the girly girl. I love heels. Like I'm so connected to my shoes. It's not funny,
I love
shoes. Like I'm a
too.
Shoe girl, but regardless, I'm still very active. I like to do things. I don't like to be sit. I'm not one to sit and be pampered.
Mm.
Right?
Yeah, me either.
I'm a get up and doer, which is a male energy, the get up and do, right? And that's what I mean by, the Mars retrograde can affect me, but then so can the Venus retrograde. So Venus goes retrograde on May the 15th in the sign of Gemini and direct on June 27th. She goes retrograde about every 18 months.
Right.
So, it doesn't happen every year. But, the same with Mars, but we're in this alignment period where they're both going retrograde in the same year.
Which is kind of brutal.
It can be.
Yeah.
What, women need to be aware of is their emotional nature during a Venus retrograde, okay? Tendency to feel lower, have lower energy, pulling towards, feeling somewhat depressed or out of sync with, where they should be at or where they should be going. This goes for men too. Okay. Right. But at the same token, so like with women, don't be too hard on yourself during this time period. Okay. Cause you're not going to feel 100% to begin with.
Right.
You're going to feel lower energy, lower emotional levels. Mm-hmm. So be gentle in that sense. If you need to pamper yourself, this is the time to pamper. It'll make you feel better.
Oh, okay.
Right. So the manicures and the pedicures are the going for the
May
facials.
15th to June 27th. I'll remember that. I'll put it in my calendar to let everybody know that, you know, this is when you need to pamper me.
Yes. This is when you need to pamper me. You know, but avoid permanent pampering kind of things like, like beauty tattoos, you know, the.
Oh, yeah. Wouldn't that be nice?
Yeah. The permanent tattoos like permanent eyeliner or lip liner or, you know, those. I wouldn't suggest getting those done.
See, that so days. Wouldn't be part of my pampering that I would think of.
For some people, it is. You know, they say once you have it, well, mind you, I think tattooing would go more under the Mars.
Probably.
Energy because you're piercing the skin. But if you're looking at it as a component of beauty, you know, so sorry, people in the tattoo industry, delay all tattoos.
What about haircuts? Are we okay for haircuts?
Keep it
the same.
Don't change your style.
Right.
Okay, so when I'm saying go for the pampering, get the same color that you have done by the same color technician. I wouldn't do any drastic changes in your beauty regime, okay?
Right.
It's more about doing the stuff that feels good.
Okay.
Okay, so like a manicure.
Right. Harmless.
Right.
Some pedicures can be not harmless, though. I've seen what they do to some people's feet. I don't have those feet that I have to worry, but I have seen some nasty feet.
My rule of thumb with pedicure, I used to be an esthetician, I'm not into the callus shavers.
Oh,
okay?
No.
So don't, like, no cutting. Okay. Use a pumice stone. If you use a pumice stone on a regular basis, you don't need to go into the callus shavers.
Oh, cool.
But you'd have to pumice every day in the shower.
Right.
Right? Or whenever you soak your feet.
Right.
Tub, shower, whatever. So, and I have no idea how we got off there.
Venus. It's Venus.
It's all about beauty. Inner beauty. What can we do on an inner beauty level?
Right.
You know, so tap into those things that you find really relaxing and soothing for your own soul. If, you know, you don't treat yourselves to baths very often because you don't have the time, it's not in your schedule. Make the time. Have that nice aromatherapy bath on a regular basis during the Venus retrograde.
Right.
Right. As long as you're using aromatherapy oils or essential oils that you know you're not allergic to.
Yes. Important. Yes.
You know, don't change your sense of style during this time period. So, like, no new big clothing purchases, like new wardrobes or anything. Like, stay within your same sense of style. Right.
All right. So, I mean, we got a taste of what 2012 is. We're probably going to talk about different things as the year goes on. When
Correct.
You're here every other week. So we're good. So Nancy Ruta from Universal Sky, again, recommend if you want to know what's going to happen for you this year, especially astrologically, to give her a call. She also does readings. And I believe you are going to do a half-hour reading for $80.
Yes.
As part of Sky Listeners only. So exclusively. If you want that, to contact her from her website, or you want to give a phone number?
My phone number is 905-989-2979.
All right. So you've been listening to Intuitive Soul with Nancy Aruta from Universal Sky and Lori Houston from Intuitive Soul. May love and grace be your guides to creating the life you desire. You've been listening to Intuitive Soul on Sky Radio, powered by CBS.